Maybe the first time you've ever been to a Pentecostal service. But if you'll study and read your Bible, this is the way they had church in the book of Acts. In other words, what I'm really saying is this is the way you really have church. If you've got your word. Oh, children's church. Faithful is Sister Cooper. If you've got your word, I'm going to. We got to start at 10 o'clock from now on with the preaching part. If you've got your word, turn to Philippians. And the messages that I'll be ministering today will be on the same subject, which is the deacon. I want you to know what a deacon really is. Before I get into it, before I get into the message, the first Sunday that I was here with you, I shared with you some things that the Lord was going to be doing through this assembly. And I really see them beginning right now. I see different things happening in people's lives. I see callings right now beginning in people's lives. I told you that one thing would be that you would begin to see ministry raised up in your very midst. Saved here, perfected here, and sent forth from here. And what you're seeing right now is some of that happening, because half of these people that were up here today were not only for a physical healing, but they were wanting to know God. They were wanting to know the Spirit. They were wanting their ears to be opened up to His Word. They're wanting to have a closer relationship with Him. And that is the first step that any calling upon your life will cause you to want to do. You want to know about God. You're just not happy to sit. You want to know Him. You want to know Him like Paul in the fullness of Him, not only in the power of His resurrection, but also in the fullness of His sufferings. And as I see couples like you two that are coming forth together about the same time and progressing in the Lord, and I hear myself speaking words of prophecy to you, I know God has something in your lives. I feel I could tell you what it is, but I won't. I'll just allow you to tell me first, and then I'll confirm it. But within a few months, or I'll give it a little bit longer than a few months. Within 6 months, you'll know. You'll know. Amen. Now that's what a church is. It's to raise ministry. And those folks at Jerusalem just didn't stay at Jerusalem. They raised ministry. And the Great Commission was to go into first Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and then into the uttermost parts of the earth. We're to go into Lafayette, but it's not just going to stay in Lafayette. It's going to go to Somerville and to Tryon and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And by the way, that's what I'm sharing on Wednesday nights, Book of Acts. So if you really want to know what the New Testament church is and how I look at it, then maybe you might want to come. All right. Philippians, let me pray. Lord, I praise You and I love You. And Lord, I know that it's going to accomplish, Your word is, the thing that it's sent forth to do. But Lord, I ask You to anoint this vessel. And Lord, I know that I am, for the Christ that is in me shall come forth, if I only allow it to. And also, Lord, I ask You to anoint the ears of the listeners, that they may receive Thy good word, and it shall produce fruit in their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What I'm ministering on is the deacon. The deacon, the ministering servant. I want it clear in your eyes and hearing and understanding exactly what a deacon is. That it is not some little old fellow that putters around the church, cuts the grass, paints the walls, It includes that. But that's not all that it is. I want you to know that you are called to be a deacon. Now, let's look at some scriptures. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. Sometimes we hurriedly read over these introductions, but there's a lot of stuff right here in this first verse. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Now, a lot of things and people are mentioned right there. But I want you to see, first of all, who he is talking to. Three groups of people are at Philippi. Three groups. In the church of Philippi, there are three groups of people. At the church of the First Assembly of God of Lafayette, there are three groups of people. There they are. In the latter part of that verse, you'll see saints and bishops and deacons. That's all there are in any church. Anything other than that is man-made. It will not be supported of God. What you will have in any true church are those three areas and degrees of people. And they speak of a spiritual growth. Saints and deacons and elders. Now the word elder, or bishop, is the same word for elder. They mean about the same thing. Elder means one who is mature, and bishop leans more to what they are to do. But they basically are in the same line of thought. Bishops are elders, and deacons and saints. That's all. Now he wrote to these people, didn't he? And who did he say to them? Bishops and elders and saints are deacons. I'm talking through the radio here. Which one it is? Well, maybe it won't appear too much. We'll get all this back there before long, I hope. Okay. What this is really, it's the deepest aspect that I can possibly share with you. That's what I think of this message. It is the absolute deepest thing that I can share with you at this point in time. Because what it does is it shows you where you need to be growing to, where you need to be coming into. It's very deep. It's a very big asset. It's a very big aspect of the Word of God. Now, we got, say it one more time. Say it with me. Start with saints, deacons, elders. All right. Let me liken it to your home. Children, mother, father. Your elder ministry, your pastoral type ministry, your eldership ministry is the same in the church as a father is in the home, or as a father should be. The deacon is the same ministry that a mother is in the home. The deacon and the elder's mind must be in the same place. There cannot be bickering between the elders and the deacons. There cannot be bickering between the father and the mother. Do you see what I'm saying? Now bring it into a place where you can really get a hold of this. Saints are children of God being raised up. And when you have children in the natural, what are you raising them to be? Mothers and fathers. Is this true? In the church, we're raising saints. We're raising children of God to become deacons and elders. Very clear. Could not be, you couldn't be having any problems with that, can you? Only three. Three main elements. Saints and deacons and elders. Now everybody here should be a saint. That is the least that you should be in the kingdom of God. You should be, if you are a saint, striving to become a deacon. And that's what I'm fixing to really minister about. Thirdly, if you are a deacon, then you should be going on unto perfection and striving to become an elder. Three growths. That's simple, isn't it? Now, in that first verse, you'll see the word servants. Paul and Timotheus, the servants. And then the last word of that verse, which is deacons. Now, those are two Greek words, and they both mean servants. The first one, Paul and Timotheus, servants. That is the Greek word doulos. And what that word simply means is slave. Slave. Paul and Timothy were slaves to who? Jesus Christ. The last one, deacons, is a word also, but it is the word that is talked about you and I, and it's also a servant, but it deals with what you do. It's a deacon. It's a ministering servant. And let me just give you the definition of the word deacon. It means an attendant, in effect, a waiter, or a servant. Now, let me just give you this real quick. As I was coming up yesterday morning, the Lord spoke this to me. The word deacon is very likened to the word waiter. Like if you went to a restaurant and there was a waiter that waited on your table. That's, in effect, a deacon. What causes you to go back to a restaurant? Two main things, the food and the service. Is that right? If the food's good and the service is good, will you go back to that restaurant? Probably. If the food's bad, or if the service is bad, will you go back to that restaurant? Probably not. So if I can cook up some good food right here, if I can set the table and really give you some good spiritual food to chew on, I've got the first step licked. But I'm going to need some waiters to help me deliver and take this food to these tables. Am I being clear enough? Is this too simple? I need some deacons that are going to help me take this food. I can't cook it and wait on the tables. I need some men and women, because I'm fixing to show you that deacon is also women. I need men and women to help me get this food out. And I'm not talking about just in this room, but in this city. But first of all, I've got to get some food worth chewing on. Now that's my part. But what I'm wanting you to see is it's going to be your part to help me take it to the table. Now that's pretty simple, but that's plain, and that's what the word means. The first word there that Paul and Timothy are means love slave. Love slave. But you have to first become a servant or a deacon before you can become a love slave. Paul and Timothy both were first deacons, diakonos, before they were doulos, love slaves. Now I can't be much clearer or plainer or simpler than that. The word deacon is simply servant. The word doulos is a love slave. In the Old Testament or in the New Testament, there were servants and slaves. I want to become a slave. I really want a ring in my ear to show the world that I am a slave unto Jesus Christ. Now, I don't mean one of these tacky little things that these young kids are running around now with in their ear. I want to have the mark of God on my life. And so that when I walk into a different place, when I walk into any place, something about me will be different, and they'll know that I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. But first I have to be a deacon. Now, second chapter of Philippians. The second chapter of Philippians, the theme of that chapter is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. And what it really all goes back to is developing in you the same mind or the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Do you believe that's possible? He said for you to be therefore perfect, even as your Father is perfect. Now let me get that perfect clear for you. I've talked about it a little bit. But it means to come into a maturity, to come into a place where you are entering into a maturity or coming to the end of a thing. That you are coming to a place and an attitude and a state of mind that you think like Jesus. And how do you begin to think like Jesus? You got to get this in you. You got to get the Word in you. Let that spirit man of you begin to feed into the womb of your mind the seed of God, and you begin to think the thoughts like Jesus. I want to read some of these verses. Let's start with verse 2 of Philippians chapter 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded. Paul wants you to be like-minded with him, because he was like-minded with Jesus. And I've got to be like-minded with Paul and Jesus and all the apostles and all of this word. And then I'm going to try to get you like-minded with me. I want you to think like I think, but I've got to think right first. And if I allow myself to go down to that pit stop and get all engulfed in those magazines and those books, and then I come up here and try to teach you how to think, I call that a hypocrite. It don't work that way. The word hypocrite, it's a Greek word, hypocrite. And what it means is if you know the words, you can play the part. And if I know what this thing says, I can get up here and tell you I can play the part. That's still a hypocrite. I don't care how much I know. If it is not active in my life, I don't walk it out and live it out, I'm a hypocrite. Come to church every week, never miss a service. Get up here and talk and teach, I'm still a hypocrite if I don't live it. For me to get you to think right, I got to think right. That's all I'm saying. Now, Paul wants you like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. We are studying that word in the book of Acts study. One accord. The Greek word homothamadon means to be in the same passion, in the same place, at the same time. You got to be in the same place, at the same time, with the same passion. You got to get excited about what I get excited about. I've got to get excited about what you get excited about. We got to be in a passion together. I can't be doing it by myself. I got to have some people to serve the food. I'll cook it, but I need some servants, and I need some waiters, and I need some deacons to help me take it to the tables. Now, like-minded and of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let how many things be done through strife or vainglory? How many? Some of you aren't saying anything. I want to know. How many?
Nothing.
Nothing. And as I told them in here one Wednesday night, I do not want to waste my time having to run around calming down little bickerings between brethren and sisters. I want to do like they say in the book of Acts. I want to spend my time, and we'll look at these scriptures tonight more in depth. I want to spend my time in the Word and in prayer. And I want to spend my time chasing devils and disease and death. I don't want to have to spend my time worrying about strife or vainglories. And if you want to get me riled and get on my bad side, start causing strife and vainglories in this house. Because I'll immediately show you, well, I'll show you right now. Go to the book of James. Hold your finger where you're at. James is right after Hebrews. James chapter 3. Who knows what James chapter 3 is about anyway? The tongue. That slippery thing that's in your mouth. That's why it slips, because it's in a wet spot. Now, we know about the tongue. I'm sure everybody's been taught about the tongue, but I want to get this thought here. Let's pick it up with 13, verse 13 of chapter 3 of James. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation. Conversation, your lifestyle, what you say, what you do, his works with meekness and of wisdom. 14. But if you have bitter and envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now look where it comes from. If you have bitterness in you, I want to show you right now where it's coming from. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is what? Earthly and sensual and devilish. And if you want me to get on you and come knocking on your door, start some of this stuff in this house. I know what spiritual surgery is. There is a surgery in the natural if my hand gets gangrene. And if I do not get that thing fixed, and sometimes if it gets gangrene, there is no cure. It has to be amputated. Surgery in the natural. If a member of this house gets gangrene and begins to spread to the rest of this body, I'll cut you off. I don't want to spend my time worrying about strife and vainglories. I really do want us to chase devils and disease and death. Now that's the book of Acts. That's the book of Acts teaching. That's what they really do in church. You know who does that? Who does chase these little things? The deacons. There were murmurings. Acts chapter 6. We'll look at it tonight. They elected deacons to take care of these things. So if I send some deacons to your house and they start talking to you about this, don't come to me, because I'll probably send them. Do you want a New Testament church? Do you want one that really works?
Yeah.
All right, I'm teaching you New Testament teachings. It comes from the devil, and it's earthly and it's sensual. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. If we let it in here, that's what it produces. It does not produce Christ. It does not produce a light that the city can see. They'll see this: strife and confusion and evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to entreat, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisies. Just said all that to amplify what Paul said right here. Strife and vainglory. And back again in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That is not the mind of Christ. That is not the mind of a deacon. That is not the mind of an elder. That is the mind of an earthly person, a sensual person, and a devilish person. Do you see that? It's there, isn't it? Okay. All right. But in lowliness of mind, that simply means humility, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. And I don't have time to stop on these. I want this verse: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, but you have the mind of Christ. You have the attitudes of Christ. You have the purpose of Christ dwelling in you. But unless you let it come forth, it accomplishes absolutely nothing. Does the scriptures talk about Christ in you, the hope of glory? Colossians 2:17. Colossians 2:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. That's it. I'll get it. When he came in, did he leave his mind out? Or did he come in with his mind? Does anybody know? He brought his mind with him. Sure. You have the mind of Christ. Now you have to let it come forth in you. Let it change you. Be changed from strength to strength and from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Add line upon line upon line and precept upon precept and upon precept. And here a little and there a little. Let it change you. Let that mind, let that attitude, let that purpose now dwell in you. You've got it. What is the purpose? Who remembers? See if any of this is sticking. What is the purpose of apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers? Minister to the body of Christ. Perfect the saints. Perfect the saints. The way I perfect the saints is first of all for me to think right, Because I've got to think like this says and get you to think like me. I want my son, I want to be a good influence on him. I want to be a good image for him. I want him to see my life, duplicate it, plus do better. Same here. If I'm a father ministry, I want you to see my life, duplicate it, and do better. Saints, deacons, elders, children, mother, father. Simple. Maybe it's too simple. Maybe I'm not deep enough this morning. I don't know. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that word is simply attitudes and purpose. That word mind. Let this attitude and let this purpose and let this mind be in you. All right. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Who being in the form of God thought. You see that word think, thought, thought in verse 6. That's how the mind of Christ thinks. That's an awesome thought. The mind of Christ thinks that it's equal with God. Is that blasphemy? It's getting your mind right. It's thinking like God thinks. It's not thinking earthly and sensual and devilish things. It's thinking like God thinks. And if I am the body of Christ and a member of that body, should we not think like the body of the head thinks? Should the body not think and do what the head thinks? Am I coming across? That didn't sound right to my ears. I don't know how it sounded to yours. All I'm trying to say is if we are the body of Christ, and members in particular, then as the mind thinks, we act. Therefore, we got our own minds, then we're going to think like Him, is what I'm trying to plainly say. The mind of Christ thinks like God. You will have godly thoughts. Not earthly, and not sensual, and not devilish. Now, I want you to see this, and then I'm closing, and I'll just tell you what we're going to do tonight. But made himself of no reputation. The Amplified Bible says stripped himself. But stripped himself and took upon him the form of a what? Servant. Now that's the word doulos. And that's the word slave. He took upon him the form of a slave. But before he was a slave, I'm going to show you tonight, first he was a deacon. First he was a diaconus, a deacon. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So what did he first do? He was with the Father. He was made in the likeness of a man. He came down. He condescended, right? He first went down, did he not? Then I have got to think like that. First, I have got to condescend. I got to go down. If I can go first down, look what will happen. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Am I to be like Jesus? Is he my pattern? Yes, he is. Then I've got to understand that the first thing that I've got to do is get Delbert out of the way. He's got to die. I've got to condescend. I've got to put on the mind of Christ. I've got to put on Christ. That's putting on his ways, his thinking, his attitudes. And if I'll do that, then it's a Bible promise that he will raise us up. First, you got to go down. I'll say it this way. The way up is first down. To be lifted up in this city, here it is. First, this church has got to go down. I'm talking in the spirit now. I don't want you to think I'm talking numerically or in the natural in any kind of ways. I'm wanting you to put yourself down so that the first assembly of God can come up. As long as we're doing it, you see, as long as we're allowing our thinkings and our ways to do it, it will never work. But if I can teach you, and I'm in myself first of all, produce Bible principles, Bible governments, get you thinking that way, then it's a Bible promise that this body, this assembly, this church will be exalted. And you are a light. You are a city set on a hill. How do you know you're coming to a city at night? Lights. You're a light. You'll be lifted up. You'll be on a mountain as it is. You'll be spectacles of this city. Paul said that. He says, I'm like a goldfish. That's what the real Greek renderings of that thought is. He says, I'm a spectacle made unto all men. He's talking about the apostles. And he's picturing himself in a goldfish bowl. There's a fish in there swimming around and the people up there looking at it. If you really live it, and you really talk it, and you really walk it, they'll see you, and you'll be a spectacle to this city. That's why I'm so interested. You see, they're coming. They're coming. And they want to see something that they haven't saw before. For 2,000 years, they've heard of gospel. But they have not heard the gospel that changes their lives. They still think, and if they listen to the radio and to the television, they still think they can go to the Moose Club, they can go to the Elks Club, they can do whatever they want to do. Look at those magazines down there in the pit stop. And they're still going to go into the kingdom of God on their skateboard, popping their bubble gum. Is that what we're taught? Is that what television produces? Is that the kind of teachings that we hear? Sure. You're going into the kingdom of God on your skateboard popping your bubble gum. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. You got to act like, talk like, live like Jesus. And that's not impossible. If it was impossible, he wouldn't have said, therefore be you perfect. He wouldn't say, have the mind of Christ and let this mind be in you. Perfection, that's what I'm here for. To perfect the saints, mature the saints, bring you to an end of yourselves. And I mean that two ways. I want you to end. I want Delbert to end. I want Christ to come forth. I want you to end. I want the Christ in you to come forth. But I want to bring you to another end. I want to bring you to the end of this age where we can usher in the kingdom of God. Amen. Well, they got the stopwatch on me back there. I better quit. Where'd my notes go? I lost my notes. I wanted to tell you what we was going to be looking at tonight. Well, I'll just have to tell you. Did they fly away? Maybe God's telling me something. Boy, put your notes up. I don't know. Tonight, we'll be looking at some Bible examples of deacons. I'll show you John Mark. I'll show you Timothy. I'll show you Jesus. I'll show you the kingdom husband. That's maybe a term you haven't heard before. The kingdom husband. The husband who is like Christ, who loves his wife the same way that Jesus loves the church. I'll show you how that is your deacon. I'll show you how a deacon really has a spiritual love affair. Whether you're a man or you're a woman, you fall in love. You fall in love with the church. There is a, you know how, most of you have heard me teach it. In you, the spirit is masculine. It interjects the seed to the woman, which is the mind, which produces something. And it's according to the spirit that's putting it in, what comes out. If it's a spirit of darkness, dark things come out. First out of your mouth and then out of your body. If it's the light, spirit of light, that's putting it into the womb, the mind, the woman, what comes out will be light. First out of your mouth, then out of your body. The spirit of every person is masculine. That spirit in you will fall in love with the church. Do you know that in the years past, it's only been in the past 10 or 15 years, that we have seen a lot of men come into the kingdom, come into the church? Women love the church. Do you women love the church? Sure you do. Why? That's the reason. The spiritual part of you loves the church. And you have a love affair with the church. And it's the same way with the man. And I'll be showing you in scriptures tonight. I'm trying to bait you. I want you back. I'll be showing you in the scriptures tonight, this evening, that love affair. You can grade yourself and judge yourself. See if you're a deacon. Stand with me. I got to find my notes. Did you learn anything? I didn't get nearly where I wanted to get. Three peoples in the church. What are they? Saints, deacons, elders. What ministry? Where do they fit into your home? What can you liken them to? Saints to? Deacons to? Elders to? Okay. It's good. See, the Word of God is not complicated and it's not hard to grasp. What's difficult is to us to let that king, Uzziah, die. If we'll let him die, we can see the Lord. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for these...